Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh man, Corey Majors.
Oh man, the Wings made it to the playoffs.
Woo! And of course,
your face, Alec.
The famous couldn't get the Rangers to score 12 runs, Alec Medford. Gentlemen,
yeah,
welcome to the program. How the heck you doing today? How the heck is everybody out there in Radio Land, except for Peyton? 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel, injury attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube. Peyton's just always out there.
Uh-huh.
So
it's like Whataburger.
Yeah.
It's always there.
True.
And it's got everything you want.
Yeah.
It's from that movie,
does it?
Vengeance, I believe. In it.
Talking about Peyton.
Oh, no. Well, you're right. He is always there, though, and that is a thing. And he's bringing, I think he's saying something about Ed Werder right now. So we'll see what he sent to Kevin.
You know what that makes you, Peyton?
He's like, this is why you don't get endorsements.
Oh, dang.
That's what I read into it. It just had one word, but I knew what it meant.
Kevin, I have a question for you before we get into Rangers talk.
Let's hear it.
Who's responsible? And actually, first question is, when is the worst time to realize there's no toilet paper on the roll or one like little piece? Right as you sit down or when you're done?
If it's not a standard one, if you're like, this is, we're going to have to triage this thing, that's the worst time. And then you have to decide, like, well, I guess I'm showering. Like, you know.
Because when you walk in there, you're just
who
like,
does that,
yeah,
by
exactly.
The way?
But all right. So who's responsible for replacing the roll, and when is it supposed to be replaced?
Oh, no. I don't think women are responsible for replacing the roll. I think it's much like taking out the trash or whatever, and I think people handle it the same way. If you've got it down to where you can see the part of the roll, then that means it's on you to switch it out. Much like the trash, it's on you to take it out. And, yeah, unfortunately, look, there's a lot of bathroom politics happening outside of the other ones. Is, you know, you got to put the seat down or else you're a monster if you're a man. But sometimes the women, they'll just pull off a couple of sheets and you're like, did you not see?
It's right
there's
there.
There's like one tiny square.
Who's going to do any? I can't do anything with that.
Exactly.
That's one square. Thank you.
This time I'm with you, PJ.
But I often wonder is it the person who used the last of it or the person who's going in there and now there's no roll?
I think it's the person who used the last of it. Like if you use something up, it's like that person who, you know, back in the day when we'd have more milk cartons, who would put it back in there with the tiniest fragment of a milk molecule in there.
Missing kid
on
there.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, that too. Yeah. And you're like, who did this? You know I can't use this for anything. I was going to eat cereal.
Why don't we have the missing kids on the milk cartons anymore? I feel like that was strong.
Did we find them all? Hopefully?
I don't know if we found any of them. I have no clue.
Oh, no.
I don't know the answer to the answer, but I feel like that it gave some awareness.
How effective were we at finding kids based on the milk cartons? Because if we got any of them, that's a win.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. But I just want to know, you know, maybe they still do it at the schools? I don't know.
Dude, can you imagine being a kid and you're sitting there drinking your chocolate milk and you flip it around and you're like, oh my gosh, what happened to Johnny?
I can see how that's a little tough, but I want to know how effective that campaign was. Again, if you found any kid, it's a win, but I want to know if they're like, yeah, based off of milk cartons, we found 100 kids a year or something. Do you have information, Alec?
I have information on this for some reason. Out of the roughly 200 children featured on milk cartons during the campaign's peak in the mid-1980s, only two were ever documented as being recovered alive, directly or indirectly connected to the initiative.
There was an estimated 5 billion milk cartons printed. And we were only able to find, you said two?
Two.
Well, I have to admit, that is not what that look I thought was going to be. I thought you were going to be like, over the 10 years, they found 8,000 kids or something. I was going to be like, holy crap, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's like again, 1%.
It's still a win because you found those two kids, but those numbers are lower than I thought they were going to be.
806. Those kids were missing. I thought those were collectibles.
Okay.
What?
That's too far. Too far!
It's like the Santa Coke cans, you know, or the Polar Bear Coke cans. You're like,
oh. Oh. From the 817, we have technology now. That's true. You'd be way better off putting it in a YouTube non-skippable ad for a kid than you went on the back of a milk carton, right?
Well, you also, the non-skippable ads are usually the worst, but in those situations, it's important. But you know your phone's getting an alert.
So let's put those that
part aside. Nobody's
turned
that off on their phone.
Do you ever actively dislike the non-skippable ads that continually pop up? Like Royal Match, I don't know, their advertising budget has to be $17 billion. But do you ever turn against the company who always pops up in that ad and you're like, I'm never downloading your game because you're always interrupting what I'm doing?
It's absolutely free, though. And that king, he's almost always going to die if you don't save him.
How is it free? If they're spending this much money on advertising.
Dude, they do cameo videos for it and everything. You're right. You got a good point. But here's what I've learned, Kevin. So you're saying, is that on YouTube or in a game that you're playing? Because there are in-game ads.
On both.
Okay.
Both.
In-game ads, here's what I've learned. Oh, my gosh. Can't believe I'm about to say this. This is an industry that's about ads, honestly. If you close the app and open it back up, your game starts back up on the next level. So,
Yeah. See, that doesn't work for radio, though. You can't just turn it off and turn it back on, and I'll be like, we're back!
No, what'll happen is
you'll
get an excessive amount of ads, is what'll happen. And that's why you're supposed to TOLO. Turn it on, leave it on, not turn it off.
From the 945, Kevin, that's what the Flock cameras are for. I have to admit, my knowledge and outrage about Flock cameras is dangerously low, and I should probably read more about them. I know people are upset about them.
Yeah, they watch the patterns of the birds in migration, correct? Is that what that means?
But they're really being used for, like, spying on us now, right?
Okay. Here's my understanding about the Flock cameras, all right? At one point, they were supposed to help with security purposes for your local police departments, et cetera, et cetera. Then there has been found that some of the links to these cameras have been hacked and sent in places that don't need to be. So therefore, your privacy is now being invaded. And there's people out there just watching you walk down the street or whatever. So,
that's weird.
Yeah. So then there's some other, you know, security issues that come along with that. The idea was, hey, can we use these to be able to find out, you know, when some crimes are committed?
So they had theoretically good intentions, unless you don't believe that they had good intentions, and that was the fake cover story, which I'm sure there's people out there who are like, yeah, that's what they said. This was always the plan, which I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, who runs big plan? You know, nobody knows that.
I bet
he does.
Think that that's the case, but to be fair, I'm not really really positive.
We're a surveillance state now, Kevin.
I mean, if you think that's just now happened,
but that's the weird thing is I'm like, every store I go into has cameras, so that's already happening. I mean, your phone takes a picture of you every like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
like that is already happening. I think there's just an even a deeper dive on it that people are concerned about. But you go into your local convenience store, Kevin.
True.
You don't know what that camera's connected to.
That's fair.
You don't know what website you're being watched on.
Look, for me, if it's just that level, now I know people are going to be like, they're going to look into your houses and everything. If it's just the convenience store, I'm like, that's fine. I'm sad that that's how you have to spend your life, is being like, what snack foods is he going to get today? But I'm sure there's far more intrusive other uses.
Yeah, somebody said the possibilities of those kinds of things are endless, and that is correct. I mean, as we've seen in Minority Report, those movies that think that far down the road on things, anything that our tiny brains can come up with, it'll probably try to pursue.
Very true. Now, I don't know if this is a professional professional transition. Speaking of your minds, What was Wyatt Langford thinking on this play? Go ahead and give me cut number one. Now, things were spiraling out off of a whole bunch of soft hit balls from Jacob DeGrom last night, but this certainly didn't help.
DeGrom with the 0-1. And that ball is lifted out into left field, coming on Langford, but he won't get there. It drops for the base hit. He fires it into third, over Freeman, and into the seats. DeGrom was racing over to try to back it up, but Langford's soft but high throw bounces into the stands. That's going to score a run, and the White Sox grab the early lead.
I blame Kevin for this.
Huh?
Yesterday, you were so built on your narrative of Kamar Rocker being a bust.
Not a narrative. It was a question.
You said he was saved.
I didn't even write that article.
He was saved by Brandon Nimmo's amazing defense, and you were like, if it wasn't for that, and here it is today. We got paid back for it, Kevin. We got paid back with bad defense because of Brandon Nimmo's amazing defense that you complained about the day before.
All right, I have a whole lot of issues with the characterization of how...
I was thinking about that on my drive this morning. I was like, it's going to be fun.
I have a whole lot of issues with that characterization.
You can't let that happen. That absolutely cannot happen. It makes when a pitcher's already kind of struggling for whatever reason, it makes it that much worse.
And I kept thinking about what Mike would probably describe as a plethora of dink farts, hits.
Yeah. And was it 72 miles an hour?
Yeah, 72 point something.
Which is slower than his changeup, according to Evan Grant.
Yeah, and he ended up throwing 42-ish pitches, and you find yourself down 6-0. And it was just a catastrophe. Now, this is not going to get as much attention, and I definitely get that. But the fact that you couldn't lock it down again in the fifth inning was problematic. Now, DeGrom gets run from the game, but you have Cole Wynn out there. He gives up some. You have Gray out there. He gives up some. And you had, I'm not saying they were going to come back and win, but you had chipped away, especially in the fifth inning. You tagged on three more runs. And so you'd cut it down to 8-4, and you're like, hey, we can get a shutdown inning. Maybe we can continue the momentum. But the White Sox tagged on two more in the fifth. And honestly, at that point, I thought it was over. Now, I realized that the Rangers immediately, fired back. Shout out to Foscue. But at that point, I just thought it was over. And, of course, my hopes were back up when it was a Cody Freeman who was up in the ninth with the bases loaded. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this would be freaking incredible if you were able to make that happen, tie up the game. Then I thought it would be a whole different vibe for the Rangers today. You'd still have sole possession of first place. Things would be different with Skip. But instead, you got smashed pretty good.
Kevin, that's, you didn't roll out your best pitching group after you were already down 6-0, right? Like that's the other thing. You're rolling Cole Wynn out there and you're just like, let's just get through this game. Hopefully.
And sometimes Cole Wynn is just there for damage control. And unfortunately he could not control the damage.
Yeah. And quite honestly, like I'm kind of curious, like, and that was such a struggle throughout the night to get back to, just to catch back up to him all night long.
That's why I thought the fifth inning was a killer.
Putting seven runs on the board, Kevin, is like, holy crap, what did you get? Why don't you guys do that all the time?
Right.
Where is this offense? And they're like, it's the White Sox. And you're like, but if we could have had some pitching and that, obviously that defense early in the game, that would have been a lot more effective. I'm fascinated watching Jordan Montgomery still, just kind of his innings and how those are working out. At this point, Kevin, the loss stinks. I'm trying to find some things that I'm looking around at because watching him pitch, I'm like, okay, I see some good control with some that death ball that he threw. Looks like it's on its way back. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe there can be some help. That Danny Jansen bomb was a freaking rocket too.
Now, can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah.
So in the last three appearances for him, they've all been in relatively low leverage situations.
To get him as many important pitches as possible for him.
And people might disagree. You might be like, oh, you were within three at that point. But like his last three appearances have been relatively low leverage. But the good thing is you've been getting positive results. It's not like he's been faltering even in low leverage. Are you ready to see a step up in terms of where they use him? Or are you like, let's give it a little bit more?
Give me one second on this.
Okay.
That's a good question. I want to confirm something real quick. All right. So he's pitched 2-2-2-4-1.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. If he's good in the role of 1 and 2 innings,
right?
I'm really fine with him being this. You need these arms in these kinds of games. You need an arm that's going to get you to so that you can conserve your bullpen for a game you're going to win.
And that four was after Rocker got touched mm-hmm. up, I'm pretty sure. And so yeah. They were like, oh.
That was against Baltimore. Yeah. He got 4 innings. That's good work for him. But the 1 and 2, if these kinds of things, Kevin, I'm fine with him doing this because you're going to need him. But if they're looking at him going, dude, we're kind of actually getting really good outings from him, then you might use him in a high-leverage situation. Kevin, I don't know if there's a pitcher I trust to know, you know, if he's got the stuff to know how to pitch in a high leverage situation quite like him. Except, you know, we watched it. We watched him say, I'll do whatever it takes, guys, to help this Rangers club win. So, yeah, I'll look forward to that whenever Skip says it's time.
Now, two bits of good news. Because they hit 7, you can still get half-price pizza from Papa John's today. But also, you win today, which you can hear 6 o'clock pregame right here on 105.3 The Fan. That will be 3 straight series in a row after also beating the Nationals and the Angels coming off of that catastrophic road run with the A's and the Angels. And look, at this point in this division, if you keep stacking up series wins, especially if you can do so against Milwaukee, then I think you're going to be just where you want to be. Like, I would love sweep after sweep. I would love if you picked up another win and your winning streak had, like, really started to move. But if you keep winning series consistently in this division, you're going to win the division.
Yes.
This division sucks.
Yes. No, you're absolutely correct about that. And that's what I kind of want to ask Skip a little bit about today is that a – do you want to be that team that nobody has a clue what you are? Going into the playoffs, and you're like, okay, now we can really make some noise. We're here.
Do you think he's going to tell you what he thinks they are? And you're like, right, but I've also seen the game.
They're just so I've said this for a week now. They're hard to read, and they've been hard to read all season. It's just right now I'm going, okay, as things are getting tighter, what are you? And they're like, we're a team that will beat you 6-0 and then lose to 6-0 next night.
Well,
with our best pitcher on the mound.
Look, both games in this series thus far, the winning team has scored 11 runs.
Let's go. So, all right, so tonight, 11 runs total, 6-5.
6-5 Rangers?
Rangers.
Okay, good.
With Lats on the mound to close it out.
Oh, then we're fine. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's do some Dallas Cowboys news and questions of the day next on The Fan.
Back and looking and standing and throwing left. Receiver fell down. It's intercepted. 25, 20, 15, Rebel. He was looking for former Cowboy Simi Fehoko, who fell down. And Savon Rebel said, oh, I know what to do with this. And there's the first takeaway of the night and a 22-yard return for Rebel.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 of the Fan. Check in on your friends today, especially if it's their birthday. Make sure that they're doing A-OK. It's time for Dallas Cowboys news and questions of the day. And I want to start with a couple of things from yesterday's practice, if that is OK with you. For the Cowboys' first team defense to start team drills, Otito Obonya was out there along with Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams. Outside linebackers Ezeraku, Rashawn Gary. You're inside. D. Winters, DeMarvion Overshone. At corner, Deron Bland, Kobe Durant. And then your safeties, Jalen Thompson and Malik Hooker. Although, I believe on the second play of defense, Caleb Downs came in. And so you're going to see that level of rotation. But that could give you some insight, I would assume, into kind of how the Cowboys are thinking, especially when it comes to Revel. He's had a hell of a camp, but it still looks like it's going to start out with Bland and Durant, though obviously you're going to see a ton of cornerbacks on the field because of the way the NFL has morphed. And then Todd Archer brought this up, and I thought it was a really interesting point. If special teams determines the final few spots, which we've had a conversation about that for weeks and weeks, here are some bubble players that were on first-team kick return. Marquise Bell, Maris Leafau, James Houston, and Elijah Clark. Now, Shoddy was very effusive in his praise of Marquise Bell. I still think James Houston is good to go, but those two and then Leafau and Elijah Clark are part of your first-team kick return unit. And as we talked about with G-Bag yesterday, how many primary special teams players are you really going to carry?
I had a question for you regarding James Houston. Von Miller being here and being a primarily pass rush specialist.
Right.
Is James Houston a necessity?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like, that's his, and I'm not saying that's all he is. He's shown that he can be more than that. Hell, when we were out there, we saw him knock down a couple passes, too. I thought that was really impressive. And Von Miller wasn't even there yet. So I just am kind of curious, is that, like, that's what he's best at. Is he a necessity since you are, now have a pass rush specialist who the Cowboys probably deem, I'm not saying he is, who the Cowboys probably deem a higher pedigree.
And
I know pedigree is probably not even the right word.
No, I get it. And he's kind of working in that group, you would think, behind Gary and obviously, like you just said, Miller. And that's where I think he gets the nod ahead of Sam Williams, because you're not going to move on from Ezeraku and Lawrence or Gary or Von Miller. And I think he's ahead in the pecking order of Sam Williams, but could turn out that is inaccurate.
I would put him ahead of that, too.
Yeah, and especially when you see that he's part of that kick return unit. That feels like that could be the tipping point,
yeah,
right? Or the deciding factor, I guess.
Especially if, I mean, like, as long as he's willing to be that contributor, too. And here's the thing. Dude, this is so difficult for younger players, but much easier for older players. There are older players that are like, I'm not a special teams guy.
Right.
But for a lot of guys, you're like, man, I know at some point somebody's going to get injured.
Yes.
And if I'm just around, I'll get the opportunities. So,
and you would really hope if it came down to, let's think this out, whatever that player is. Am I going to make this team if I'm not doing special teams?
Exactly.
And if the answer is no, I really hope.
Yeah, exactly.
So they can implement your plan.
Can I drop something about the Caleb Downs?
For sure.
You heard him?
Yeah, I have. I know somebody who has multiple rookie cards of him. It's Corey.
What?
We can talk about that later. Hmm. Kevin, when Bobby had to convince Sean that this was the player in pre-draft stuff, Sean kept going, hey, I'm not seeing a lot of pass coverage stuff. I see a lot of stuff at the line. And then whenever, you know, I was watching, I was like, you know what? That is kind of true. And we've watched him in pass coverage.
For sure.
And it's tough to cover CeeDee Lamb in the slot. That's not fun. And it's kind of been a chore for him. Hopefully he's gotten better from it. This was his first interception in practice. And even beyond Oxnard and everything. Kevin, when you watch him play, haven't you always felt like instead of being a great pass guy or pass coverage guy, he was a play wrecker?
Yes.
He was a dude whose intelligence was so high in being able to figure out things, that he figures out how to make a play, stop a play before it develops.
And I agree with all of that. And if he doesn't, I think he is going to get some credit for the coverage pass breakup or the coverage sack, you know, where you're like, well, he's got his guy on lockdown, so they had to force the ball into a non-desirable window or matchup somewhere else on the field. Look, we talked about this going into the draft. I don't know if the number of splash plays for him will necessarily jump off the page, but I just think you're going to see an overall rise in this defense, and I think one of the things is you're going to look at it and go, sound play right there. Ooh, there's another one. There's another one. There's another one.
Or needed that one.
Yes.
The needed that one, I think, is the one. And I go back to there were moments where he got to the running back or the quarterback at Ohio State. And again, they were a very talented roster, right? But there were moments he got there when you needed him the most. But then there were also these moments. Go back and watch the series against Miami. And they ran the same play at him three times. The first time, 7 yards. Second time, 2 yards. Third time, negative yards. He figured out different ways to attack it within the game and communicated that to his guys on the defensive line. That's going to be the difference. Beginning of game and end of game are so many different moments, right? And you got to be able to make those big plays late.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, in case you wanted to know this, Brandon Aubrey kicked 6 field goals. They were from 31, 33, 37, 42, 47, and 54.
I hope he only has to kick 6 all year.
Well, he made all 6.
That's fine. That's all I want is for him to only have to kick 6 field goals all season long.
Do you know what media people were talking about after practice, though?
Barham.
Ja'Shaun Barham got in front of a microphone.
Dude,
if you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm telling you, C-Block, we'll have a conversation on him specifically, but this, Kevin...
Do you want to hear the quotes now, or do you want to wait? Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. He talked about his physicality.
It chills right now just thinking about this dude.
And he goes, physicality? Yeah, I showed it. There's more to show, and you'll see that as the year goes on. He was asked if he's ready for week 1, and he said, I'm ready right now. We can play right now, for real. But then this is the best quote on playing the Saints after the fights and joint practice. Look, I don't know if you need a reason to love this fella. I think this is going to help. About the Saints, I hate them. I hate every team we play straight up. So, like, he is not going to give you the lengthiest answers, but by God, we're going to get right to the damn point. I hate them. I hate every team we play. And in case you weren't sure, straight up.
So here's the thing, dude. Like, this is what you want every football player that you've ever had on your team to be like.
Okay. Can I say, like, 80%? Because if the room is nothing like that, I feel like this is a very combustible situation that is going to end very terribly. So I'll say like 80 to 85%.
Like, I want to be a great teammate. Maybe we need to make sure of that part. Great teammate, but also hate the opponent so much.
Right.
That I just, like, I want to hear, these are the things I want to hear from him all year.
Yes.
How much do you hate them? Like, explain more. And I can't wait for him to be like, he's like, okay, that's what they want to hear from me? I'll write more of these, and I'll get them prepared for this is each week for whatever opponent. He's like, making them bleed. And you're just like, oh my gosh.
And he can't talk to us more because he's too focused on upping his level of physicality and despising the next opponent, which I'm fine with.
You never get a chance to interview Jayshon Barham. But he's like the best player on the team.
Right? Oh, let's, my let's God, deal.
Presume he's the best player on the team. You never get a chance, but you are in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, deal. And he can every week call me personally a piece of S if it gets them to the Super Bowl and he's on the All-Pro team. Yeah, that's fine. I almost recreated it, but then I realized that you would have a drop of that, and I don't really want that. But yeah, he can go out of his way to say whatever he wants to me every single week or like through channels to me, and I'm fine with that if it gets us in the Super Bowl. Now, we're going to talk more about him at 1 o'clock, like you said. I want to go back to a player that had an interception in the preseason game. How pumped are you guys about Revel? Because it feels like he's gone from, and you still don't know because you haven't gotten into the games yet, but it feels like confidence-wise, I personally am at a totally different place with him than I was at the start of training camp. Now, will that pay off? We'll see.
I think it will. And the reason is, hearing what we talked about with that quote yesterday of with the coaching, finding out what I need to do in situational football, understanding what you need to do eliminates so many other things that you don't need in your brain at the time that allows you to play better. Again, Christian Gonzalez, watch how situational football helps him. I know his situation right now with New England's not that great.
Man, but he's pissed at them.
I'm actually starting to slowly get excited about Bland. It seemed like it's been a very quiet,
which is not bad.
Deron Bland, yeah. You know, nobody's talking about what he's doing over there, good or bad. And so I'm actually getting very excited about what's going on there then. Is he turning into a better cornerback right now because of this? Is this going to be he's out there, Bobby was saying this morning, he's out there as their one. Right now, Durant's the two.
Yeah.
But, you know, Revel's had such a good run here. Maybe you can adapt and do a lot of different things that are going to end up ultimately helping you out. Yes, Kevin, when it comes to Revel, I was excited last year, but I was like, I had my expectations really low because the dude was a rookie coming off an injury. And I was like, he can't just walk in and be what Jerry Jones keeps trying to tell us he's going to be. It doesn't seem right. But the work that he's done this offseason, he was healthy going into the offseason, so he felt pretty healthy there. And then the knowledge that he's gained from Christian Parker and Alec, that's exactly what we talked about all offseason, was how important he's the development and growth in that secondary world was going to be because of Christian Parker's ability to teach. That was I think we also thought Revel would benefit the most from it because he's already a physical player. He just needs to know what he's doing.
And prior to actual games being played, this is as much of a positive shift as I can imagine with him in my like view of him. Now, we'll see once we get to the games and you'll find out if that was well placed or not. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we got to tell you more about our epic contest that starts tomorrow, plus baseball nuggets next on The Fan.
Fly ball, right field, Harper can't make the catch. It's a three-homer game, Cal Raleigh.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get to baseball nuggets in just a minute, but this will also, unfortunately, lead into a Masterpiece Theater we were going to do tomorrow of what's the worst movie that you absolutely love. We hear news this morning that Tim Curry has passed away at the age of 80, probably for a lot of people, best known from Rocky Horror Picture Show, or he was the original It in the then TV kind of miniseries back-to-back night movies. He was also in the movie Clue. I love him in the movie Legend, which is definitely going to be the worst movie that I love. But yeah, he passes away at the age of 80, just a day removed from Dolly Parton passing away at the age of 80.
He's in Home Alone 2.
Oh yeah, that's right. A cheese pizza.
Mm-hmm.
He was good in that movie, even though that movie sucks. So, something to pick you up.
Wow, man.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, he's
no longer with us.
He's the best part of he's the best part of that movie. Starting tomorrow,
we're dude, I'm sorry. Listen right now to what Kevin is about to say because this is freaking awesome.
Yeah, starting tomorrow, We're going to team up with Dr. Pepper for a one-of-a-kind fantasy football giveaway. You got six opportunities to qualify, and one of those qualifiers will win the grand prize, where you, this is real, and your fantasy football league will hold your fantasy draft inside the Cowboys War Room at the Star in Frisco. All right? So call everyone in your league, honestly, call people you don't like to. Tell them to listen and try to win. Here's how it's going to work. Throughout our three shows that we're going to be doing the giveaway, us, Sean and RJ, G-Bag Nation, we're going to mention a code word. We'll mention a lot. Don't worry. You won't miss out. Be the right caller when we ask you to call. For Sean and RJ, it's in the 9 hour. For G-Bag, it's in the 5 p.m. hour. And for us, it's going to be in the 1 p.m. hour. If you give the correct Dr. Pepper code word, you'll win a Dr. Pepper prize pack. Qualify. Well, there's only going to be six qualifiers.
Mm-hmm.
And then whoever wins from that group will be inside the Cowboys draft war room. Ross Wolchuk are going to be there. Dr. Pepper's an official sponsor with the Dallas Cowboys. You're going to be able to be there where the good draft picks and the bad draft picks all happen.
Oh,
you can
yeah.
be like, this is where we pick Jayshon Barham.
Yeah. And you know what? This is an amazing thing for one.
Agreed.
Like, nobody gets to do this. Except for like Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones and Will McClay. Like, they're the ones that get to go in that room and do this.
Do you think if you win for your league, they should automatically refund your entry as your reward? Maybe you win, maybe you don't, but you hooked this up. Something to ponder.
Yes. Yes, I do. I think that everybody should, if not that, they should just give you Miller Lights. And Dr. Pepper's for the rest of your life. You know, Miller Lite's
okay.
That's the Cowboys, but Dr. Pepper because that's the Cowboys, and also it's Dr. Pepper. It's amazing.
Exactly.
But this, yeah. like, this is just one of the, I can't, you're always looking for something cool to do. You know, like, you're always looking for some new way to, I saw somebody got Dak to pick their fantasy order. You know, there's always, you're always looking for something unique to do with your fellas, and a way to make the fantasy draft that much more fun. Nothing more cool than this. Like, nothing. I don't think that you can find anything more cool. Yeah, something unique to do with the fellas is. Yeah.
Hey, stay focused.
Yeah, let's mark that one. But this is really awesome, dude.
I think it's because you said your fellas, as opposed to
it's your fellas.
Now, all right, Derek Holland, relax over there. It's time for some baseball nuggets.
The 214. Do I have to meet Jerry?
I mean. Watch that King of the Hill episode from the revival. That will let you know what you probably should not do. All right. The most disappointing players in baseball this year. You might have guessed it by the audio that we played. Does this have to lead off with Cal Raleigh? Is there any other player that could lead off the biggest disappointments than Cal Raleigh, as he's probably also on the most disappointing team?
And he hit like a home run in like five straight games right now or something like that. He's on fire right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, he hit three home runs against the Phillies the other night.
That did happen
he's
on Monday.
He's hit five home runs, Kevin, in the last five games.
All right.
In one game.
Yeah.
And then one home run in the other in bookend games on that five.
Which has raised his batting average up to 169.
Look, nobody cares about batting average. You've said that many times. OPS is all that matters.
Right. His OPS is 632.
Look, he's not an MVP candidate this year.
He's
which is the
one
same
of the worst
as
players in the league.
His first 2 years. You know, his first 2 years, he was not an MVP candidate.
Okay.
You know, his third year, finished 18th in MVP voting.
Mm.
Fourth year, finished 12th in MVP voting.
Mm.
Last year, should have won it. This year, not a great season.
Did you know his batting average for the month of May was 56? And his OPS
like
was
56.056. So not 560, huh?
No. And his OPS was 184.
I wonder is like,
what is he on this team?
You know
in
what,
other games?
You know what they've always said is, as Cal Raleigh goes, so go the Mariners. And so I wonder if he's
that
been
kinda makes sense.
One of the biggest factors in their garbage season and
right.
what they were successfully last year.
And this is a weird deal, but with an ERA of 3.79 and a whip of 1.12, is Paul Skenes one of the biggest disappointments this year? Again, those numbers aren't bad at all, and I know he had six shutout innings last night, only gave up three hits, but compared to the usual Paul Skenes, which is an ERA of about 2, this feels like a colossal disappointment. His ERA is twice as high as it was his first two seasons.
Yeah, I would definitely say. I also don't know. He was so good so early. The expectation almost got too much of what he should be. And the expectation that he can be that consistently good forever is kind of wild. But this is bad. This is like just regular human pitcher right now.
Right.
He's not even a quality pitcher right now.
At least with Cal Raleigh, I think he's quality overall.
I don't know.
Cal Raleigh has not been quality this year. Right.
Well, I mean, yeah.
We could agree
on that. He had such a good year last year.
He did.
And again, I don't know if y'all remember, but he was voted 18th and 12th in MVP voting the years before that.
Mm.
So that's a big deal to be even considered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a plumpy dumpy.
It's true. I think all the catching is caught up with him, though. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Just wears your body out, Kevin.
Okay.
In a way that standing out in right field doesn't.
Would you put Edwin Diaz and Kyle Tucker on this list as we get
Edwin
a
Diaz is, like, since he signed that deal.
Yeah, he's been awful.
Even with the Mets. Like, once he signed it, then he was, like, injured Achilles. You're like, what? And then he's just done. He just has not been the same pitcher since, man.
Did it apex when Timmy Trumpet came out there? And then it was just all downhill
from
there.
That's the way to get paid, right? To make sure you have a Trumpet introduction.
I mean, he's been horrendous this year. Tucker has been horrendous this year. I don't know if you want to put Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in that category Who's his?
I'm sorry, Diaz.
Okay.
Diaz last year, 163 with the Mets was his ERA in 62 games. That's really good.
It is.
He had a .087 whip.
Golly.
He has a 2.561 whip right now. I don't think he's going to be considered for Cy Young.
You know, I think that's fair. Don't you think that's what most Rangers fans think Cole Wynn's whip is, 2.56? It's not, but it feels like that's what Rangers fans think
his whip is.
I don't. There's no way it can be. It's probably like 1.6, 1.5, which is not, that's not good either.
1.46.
See? That's close to 1.5. That's not great.
It's 1.46.
But at least it's a whole point lower than
Edwin Diaz. Oh, dude, that's as miserable as he's been in his career. Like, he's never been this bad as he is for the Dodgers.
And then for Vlad, 940 OPS a couple years ago, 848 last year. So that's 689 this year. So he has really, really been struggling. All right, a couple of other things. Now, I know people would like to see this for Wyatt Langford. Some people were asking, like, oh, why don't you take him out of the game? Well, Pat Murphy last night with the Major League best Milwaukee Brewers, he took Cooper Pratt out of the game because he wasn't hustling. And he said, there's no excuse. You better run. I don't know if it's easier to do that with somebody like Cooper Pratt, who hasn't had like the most captivating overall season and has really stunk it up this month, mm-hmm. than it would be for some of your other players. But send in a message for sure.
Yeah. If you need your team to play a certain way, especially at this point in the year, you can't let them have bad habits at all.
I agree. Now, the Royals, once the season was over for them, they were 50-74. You know, they have now won 9 games in a row.
Really?
So now they're only 59-74, which I'm pretty sure would almost put you in first place in our division. But that is their longest winning streak in 9 years. We'll see if it can keep it going. And then the Chicago Cubs set an all-time club record with 30 unanswered runs over the span of 3 games. But do you really care when you ended up losing 5-4? So, hey, set the record. Good job. You lost.
No, you want to win. It's a team sport, Kevin.
Agreed. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on a 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on The Fan.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not magic.